Isn't God good? Praise the Lord. Well, look at it snow. Isn't that beautiful? Some of you like snow more than others, it appears. Yeah. So the snow reminds us. I was thinking of that song as we were driving in this morning. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Lord, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Amen. Do you have any holes in your drywall? Raise your hand if you have any holes in your drywall. I'm talking literally here. When Jeanette and I were in college, I did a little home renovation and restoration work. And you let me know if this cuts out. It sounds like it's cutting out up here. It is. Okay, some are saying yes, some are saying no. We'll change a battery. Brad's got one on quick draw. You don't have one on quick draw. There's one. Oh, you have one. Okay. Replace that old Eveready with a Duracell. And he keeps on going and going and going and going. Maybe there's a reason they put an Eveready in my battery instead of a Duracell. All right. I was working in a home, and I noticed, in fact, he was my boss, and I noticed behind one of the doors, the entryway door, there was a hole in the drywall, you know, where the doorknob swings open and clunk, just puts a hole right in it. And I was doing some other painting, and I was in the mud, and I was in the tape, and I thought, he is going to love this. I'm going to fix that hole in the drywall. And so that day as I was painting, I did a little zip to it and you know, let the mud dry and sand it off a little bit of paint, primer and paint, and I had it good as new. The boss walked in, and I was showing him around. He said, oh, yeah, very good, very good. And I kind of pointed to the former hole in the wall, and he says, what? And I said, well, you remember the hole in the wall there? He says, no. And I was so disappointed, because I was like, I really did a good job here. And then I was like, really? You didn't even see the hole in your wall? I've carried that with me over the years, and I have realized that that can happen in our own lives as well. We can begin to learn to live with a certain state of disrepair, a certain state of brokenness in our lives, and before long, we begin to think that that is normal. That state of brokenness, that state of disrepair is just the way it's going to be. And we begin to not see it anymore. Now, someone new walking into our lives walks in and they may be totally like, why? Why would you live with that? And we're like, what? 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 And they're like, how could you do a marriage like that? How could you do a relationship like that? And we're like, what? You see, it happens in many areas of our lives. We can begin to get this sense of the loss that I have incurred is now just who I am. And we give up on hope of ever getting better. Amen. The scripture that we're looking at today is Joel chapter 2, verses 25 through 26. I really can't tell you a lot about the background of the book of Joel. By the way, Thomas is going to be sharing the message next Sunday. Really excited about Reverend Higgins sharing the message with us. He's going to be talking about God reveals through the prophets, and I understand through Ezekiel. Awesome. Looking forward to it. I can't really tell you much about the prophet Joel, other than this came at a time, this prophecy came at a time that Israel was devastated and experiencing incredible loss. They had probably, this is a probable reference to the Babylonians coming in and annihilating Israel. And this is particularly a prophecy to the southern kingdom, which is Judah, and experiencing loss. And I can tell you that even though we don't have a lot of information about Joel, the situation is this. Israel was defeated. Israel was devastated. They were living in what they would term disgrace. And they were eagerly seeking help and hope. Here's God's word to them this morning. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. The great locusts and the young locusts, the other locusts and the locust swarm. Now, the King James is much more colorful here. I love it. Talks about worms and pests and all kinds of crawling locusts and flying locusts. That means your crops are literally infested. You ever seen an infestation? All kinds of crawling. Well, let's just move on. Joel says, I will restore, as he quotes the Lord, I will restore everything that the great army that I sent among you has taken and eaten. And you will have plenty to eat until you are full. And you will praise the name of the Lord your God who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. I want to welcome as well, along with Lisa, those who are joining us online this morning. And Susan, if you're there, welcome. Glad to have you this morning. Well, losses occur in our lives. And we face loss from different areas, different facets. Sometimes just failure produces loss. If you'll think back with me to Adam and Eve in the garden, they, being the free moral agents that they were created to be, had the capacity to choose right and wrong. And God had given them clear instructions. You can eat from any tree that's in the garden, but don't eat from this one tree that's in the middle of the garden. And what did they do? They walked over and they ate from the tree. As a result, a cascading effect of natural repercussions of natural disease came in on them, and they were cast from the garden. They had the capacity to choose right, but instead they choose wrong. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20 says, 23, it says, therefore the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man out. You see, sin produces loss. That's one of the generators of loss in our life, is sin. Sometimes we have loss because of our own fault, and sometimes we have loss just because we live in a sin-broken world, the results of indirect sin. Well, I got to tell you this morning, sometimes we experience loss because of aging. 52 isn't bad, for those of you who haven't been there yet. 52 is not too bad. I got a fajita and an electric blanket and a cake. And so 52 is not bad. I went to bed at 8 o'clock on my birthday. It was awesome. But we experience loss through aging. An 80-year-old woman was walking along the sidewalk one day of her hometown, and she heard these words, "Hey, lady!" And she looked around, couldn't figure out where it was coming from. She took a few more steps, and she heard the words again, "Hey, lady!" As she was beginning to think she was losing it because she couldn't figure out where the voice was coming from, she took a few more steps forward. She again heard the words, "Hey, lady!" And she finally looked down, and she saw a frog. And she picked up the frog, and the frog looked at her, and she realized that this was pretty amazing. And the frog said, "Hey, lady," he said, "I'm really a prince, And if you would just kiss me on the lips, I would be forever grateful. Because if you kiss me on the lips, I will be returned to my original state and I will become a prince and it will just be awesome. And we can live together forever and ever, happily ever after. And she looked at the frog and she put the frog in her purse. And she was heard muttering to herself as she walked along. She said, at my age, she says, I'll have more fun with a talking frog. You see, we lose things as we get older. Death is another example of loss. You know, none of us can cheat death. We will all die one day. And how's that for good news? It gets better. All right. Ecclesiastes 8:8 says, no one has the power over the spirit to retain the spirit, and no one has the power in the day of death. Hebrews 9:27 says, each one is destined to die once, and after that, the judgment. Death is going to happen unless we are here at the time that Christ comes again and receives his church, and we're caught up to be with the Lord in the clouds at his coming. We're going to die. And as a result of that, our friends are going to experience loss as they mourn our death. Sometimes loss occurs as a result of a force of nature. Dan, you may be able to help me with this, but I was in one of your canoes with somebody who was telling me about, we were going down the Rock River, and somebody was telling me about, it might have been you, I don't think I've ever been in a canoe with you though, telling me about a cottonwood tree falling some like 100 feet from an upper cliff and falling on this guy that, does this sound familiar to anybody? Okay, I might have dreamed it, but anyway. This guy, this tree fell on him while he was canoeing on this river and he died. And really, I was looking at some news clippings of freaks of nature, and this is not really all that odd and not all that uncommon. It happens in Central Park, it happens in other areas where there are lots of woods. Listen to how nature kind of came down on Job. In Job chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, it says, while he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, you remember the story of Job? Things are moving along pretty good. He's blessed. He experiences all kinds of prosperity. And everybody's looking at him saying, man, you really got it put together. Awesome. And then all of a sudden, everything collapses. Your sons and your daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house when all of a sudden a mighty wind struck in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on all of them and they are dead. I'm the only one here who has lived to tell about it. All of these things spell loss. It prompts the question, as believers this morning, what do we do when we experience loss? What is our response? How do I handle it? As someone who is a follower of Jesus Christ and wants to follow the Lord with all of my heart, how will he help me get through this loss? Well, according to the world's definition, to restore something means to bring it back to its original condition. Follow with me now. To restore a car is to restore it back to its factory specifications. Okay, full restoration. That's not the definition that God has when it comes to restoration. And then you've seen, now that's a good definition, right? And many of us would be happy with that. Lord, bring me back to the state that I was before this loss occurred. Okay, y'all follow me? And then you'll see these ads in the paper for cars, and they'll say, restored to better than new. Amen? That is the restoration definition that God is working with us. Amen? I am going to make, even though you've experienced this devastating loss, I'm going to make you better than you were before the loss. Now that's huge, because it has everything to do with what our expectations are in regards to what God's work is in our life. We are a holiness people, which means that we believe that God is going to restore us to better than the condition that we were born in. Amen? It means that while we were born with original sin, we were born with the sin of Adam, God says, I want to even fix that in your life. I want to not only fix the actual sins that you've committed, I want to restore even you beyond what you were born with. God says, be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Which means that even the sin that I was born with, the sin of Adam, God says, I can fix that too. Amen. Praise the Lord. His power and the redeeming power of the cross are unlimited, and he goes all the way. So, things that are in need of restoration, we can understand this, means that things have been left to kind of go the way of the world. Lack of maintenance. And you know what happens when we don't maintain things? They just kind of deteriorate. Can you hear me all the way back? Now, Job 42:12 says, so the Lord, this is at the end of the story of Job, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job's life more than his beginning. It means after all the devastating loss that had occurred, it means that even after everything that he had experienced and thought was the absolute worst it could have been, God restored him to a position and a place that was even better than he was before the loss occurred. Amen? All right. 2018 is a year of blessing for you. Not because I can guarantee that a branch won't fall from 50 feet and hit you on the head. I can't guarantee that. It could happen. But 2018 is a year of blessing in the respect that we agree with God's plan for our lives. It means that we are saying yes to his plan. It means that we are not creating, by stepping out of his will, creating our own chaos. It means that we're not creating more problems for ourselves by stepping out of his will and taking the fray of the natural repercussions of our wrong choices to God. It means we're staying within his will and moving with the flow of God where he can bless and have favor on us. It has nothing to do with whether or not the natural forces of this world hit us on the head with a rock or a branch. But it has everything to do with how we finish this race in this very momentary blip on the timeline of God called life. It means that we are blessed this year, because if this year we were to meet our Maker, God himself, he'd say, well done. I know life was tough. Just ask my son about how tough life is. But because you finished well, welcome into the home that I've created for you. You've been faithful. Perhaps there needs to be restoration in your relationship with God. In order for restoration to take place, we must first acknowledge that there is a need. Now, I want to take you back to my opening illustration of the hole in the drywall. Just like living with pain, physical pain, after so long and so many years, the mind blocks it out. And your doctor will look at you and say, how are you living with this? And you're like, what? What? I don't feel it anymore. God says that if there's an area of brokenness in your life, I want you to trust me enough to admit that it's there. I want you to look at it. I know you've ignored it because it was going to be too painful to fix it. And to open that can of worms, I know it's scary. But in faith this morning, I want you to look at it and say, Lord, I can't fix it. But I'm asking you to restore it to better than new. Let's pray a very brief prayer right now and ask the Lord to identify any area of our life that is broken. Jesus, with our eyes open and our hearts open this morning, lay your finger on those areas of our life that need your touch of not just being fixed, but being made better than new. In Jesus' name. This morning, if it's the case that your relationship with the Lord has fallen into disrepair and neglect, you must acknowledge that you've chosen other things in place of God. And as a result, no intentional upkeep is happening, and your relationship with God is deteriorating. I have a confession to make. Dad's going to love this. I've never confessed this before. Did he just say, oh no? I didn't want to look at him. Doesn't have anything to do with the fire engine. Doesn't have anything to do with... It does have something to do with a car. A truck, in fact. It's a 1951 Ford pickup. Pretty nice. And it had a 283 engine in it. Now, for those of you who know Ford and Chevy, yes, there was a Chevy engine in a Ford truck. Only way they'll run. It's the only way they'll run. I did not say that. I'm just repeating. I'm just the messenger this morning. Anyway, in an older small block Chevy engine, you can't just go and get a oil filter from Kmart or Walmart, or even sometimes Napa would have to order, because, Steve, you know, the old small block Chevys had a oil filter called a canister type that had a steel filter. You had to unscrew it, and then you had to put a filter inside of it. Well, I could not find one of those when we were in college. And I'd drive it into Jiffy Lube, and I'd say, I need my oil change. It's got a 283 Chevy in it. And they'd say, oh, fine, yeah, pull it up here on the ramp and pull it up there on the ramp. And they'd get under it, and they'd say, oh, we've never seen one of those before. And so as a result, I kept driving it. And I pulled it into several Jiffy Lube places like that. And I could have taken it to a mechanic and let it sit, but I felt like life was moving too fast and I couldn't get the job done. And so miles began to accumulate on the oil. Okay? And finally, brought it to a mechanic and said, I just got to get it done. Do whatever you got to do. So he had it for a day or so back when you had to order parts, and he ordered it. He got it in. And he said, when I went to take the plug out of the oil pan, he said, you know how the oil typically goes, ew. He said, didn't do that. He said, it went, bloop, and bloop, and bloop. I'd run it too long. went, bloop. Something like that, Dan. What I had done was I had I had lots of excuses. Am I doing okay, Dan? Are you okay? He's going to have the big one, he says. I had lots of good excuses. It's hard. It's going to take time. I'm going to have to stop with what I'm doing. I can't just stop my life. Change the oil on my truck. Why would I have to stop? This is my... And because of that, my engine, the heart of my vehicle was working harder than it needed to because I wasn't maintaining it properly. I want you to keep that illustration in your mind because we're going to come back to it in a moment. Spiritual neglect must be guarded against as well. Prayer, which was once our lifeline to God, has been replaced by entertainment, a TV program, social media, or a video game. Spiritual neglect must be guarded against. Just like vehicles fall into disrepair, so the condition of our hearts with God. Worship, which was once vibrant in your life, and you were present and you were focused on God, has become distracted. You see, we can become what the Bible defines as lukewarm. Revelation 3:15-16 says, I know your works. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to... you out of my mouth. Nauseating. Romans 1:25 says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, believing that they could run their oil for thousands and thousands of miles when they can't. You're not created to do that. And worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. Let's return to a deep relationship with God. Let's cry to God and say, Father, restore my relationship with you. Let's break down the barriers that block our meaningful relationship with God. Perhaps you're in need of financial restoration. And you're saying, I can't stop because if I stop, all kinds of things will happen. You have to stop. Whatever that means in your life, you have to stop and start doing things God's way. We cannot rob God and expect to live in His blessing at the same time. Matthew 3:7-12 talks about robbing God. And the writer says, How could we rob God? And God says, you're robbing me by withholding your tithes and your offerings. The Bible also confirms that blessings flow from honoring God with our tithes. So how do we receive financial restoration? Well, first of all, honor God with the first fruits of our financial resources. Participating in tithes, giving above our tithe as we participate in offerings. See that God's priorities are more important than money and acknowledge God's plan, and that is that He blesses you in order that you may be a blessing to others. Next is recognize the needs of others. Finally, use money wisely. Cut out impulse spending and stick to a responsible budget that puts God's priorities at the top. Let me give you a couple steps for dealing with loss as we close this morning. Look for God to replace my pain with a sense of gain. I know that sounds a little bit TV preacher-ish, but that's okay. Look for God to replace your pain with a sense of gain. That's going to take an adjustment in expectation. You see, some of us can get stuck in our loss and just believe that that's always the way it's going to be. And just believe that now that the Babylonians have come and nearly wiped me off the map, I guess this is my future. Let me encourage you to pray that God will help you focus no longer on the loss that you've incurred, but what God is going to do through this loss in your life. Because all things work together for good to those that love God. Can I get an amen? It means that God will take the loss, and even though others meant it for evil, God will make it good. Praise God! It means that He will restore that which the locusts and the worms and the bugs have eaten in your life. It means He will take what should be calculated as a devastating loss, when you could be all depressed about it and all discouraged about it and think that this is my future. Remember that God says, I can make that something good in your life. You see, at the end of that loss, you're going to have a testimony that says, look what God brought me through. And somebody is going to receive Christ because you have chosen to proceed in faith. God takes even our devastating losses and turns them around for His glory. I know it doesn't make sense. The Israelites had the same reasoning. They said, how can we work just 6 days a week? How can we just farm 6 years and leave the seventh year idle? How can we do that? How can we work 6 days and rest on the seventh? And God says, I will bless you with more than you had if you work 7 days. How does that work? And in Leviticus over there, in Leviticus 25, verses 20 through 22, but you ask, what will we eat during the seventh year? That's a great question. If you're not planting crops for that year, what will we eat? If we do not plant crops or harvest crops, I will send you such a blessing if you'll do things my way, God says. Amen. I will send you such a blessing in the sixth year that the land will yield enough for 3 years if you'll do things God's way. It means you will be blessed if I stop stepping out of God's will and trying to take it all on myself. If we'll stay in God's will, He says, just stay in the flow of my blessing and stay in the flow of my favor, and I will provide. While you plant during the eighth year, you will eat from the old crop and will continue to eat from it until the harvest of the ninth year comes in. I invite you to experience this God economy. If you haven't yet, yes, it takes faith. It takes faith to put God first in our finances and in our time. And when we actually do it, it's like, oh God, I'm going to die. But if you'll do it, you will experience that God will make you better than new. He will restore that which the locusts, that which the stock market, that which what the culture has taken. I'd like to say it would be, you'll get a return on your finances, but I thought about this. Who needs compound interest when you got God-pound interest? Amen. I thought I'd get a better amen than that, but I still think it was pretty good. All right, coming in for a landing here. You see, when we experience loss, fact is we can end up turning our backs on God and just dwelling on the loss and forgetting that God's inviting us to put our faith in Him to make us better than new. What happens? Well, our faith can be shipwrecked. 1 Timothy 1:19-20 says, holding on to faith and good conscience, which some have rejected, so have suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Among them are Hermeneus and Alexander, whom I've landed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. You see, we have the choice, just like Adam and Eve, on where we're going to live. We're either going to live in the realm of God's blessing, or we're going to live in a place that God says is outside of my blessing, and I just can't fix that for you because I have created you to be a free moral agent. You have responsibility whether or not you're going to live in my blessing or you're going to try to go your own way. God wants us to live in His blessing and be restored better than new. Isn't that great news? For those who are going to be distributing the elements of communion, would you begin to do that at this time? Philippians 4:11-13 says, now, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned to be content whatever circumstances I'm in. For I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in every in any situation, whether well-fed or hungry. Thank you. Whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. And finally, in times of loss, find hope in Jesus' cross. In times of loss, find hope in Jesus' cross. Nobody lived through crucifixion. It wasn't that Jesus was a little bit dead. Can you hear me all the way back? He was all the way dead. God just didn't take the body of Jesus and fix it up a little. God gave Him a glorified body. Can you hear me? So God didn't just say, I'm going to make Jesus live again. I'm going to give Him a glorified body. And so is the hope of every believer. Amen? God says, I'm going to restore you. I'm going to restore everything that this life has taken from you. This life that is infected with disease and sin and turmoil and distress. I'm gonna restore everything that this life has taken from you. Isn't that good? Because it means that even if we get hit on the head by a huge log, God says, this life is just a blip on the great timeline of God. And what really matters is I'm going to restore everything that this little blip on the timeline of God has taken from you, because you are spirit and you will live forever. And I'm going to restore everything, and I'm going to make you better, better than new, better than when you were born. But you got to have faith. You got to choose the direction that your loss is going to take you. It's either going to take you away from God or it's going to take you to God. And you've got to make the choice. You've got to say, God, even though this loss seems insurmountable and it would take me down and the normal person would take them under, I instead am going to put my faith in you that you are going to restore the years, you are going to restore the crops that the locusts have taken from my life. So I'm going to put my, instead of focusing on my loss, I'm going to focus on what you're going to do with my loss. Amen? and I'm going to have faith to move forward. Praise His name. You know, Jesus was preparing His guys for the loss that they were about to experience. And He said, this is going to be a gut-wrenching loss. We've had a great time for 3 years. Matthew and Mark and John and Peter and all my guys, Bartholomew and Thaddeus, all my guys. We've had a great 3 years. But what you're about to experience is going to test everything that you are. You're going to see some stuff that you don't think should happen to anybody. And it's going to happen to me. He said, you're going to experience loss like you've never experienced before. But I'm here to tell you that though my body is broken, let's receive. And my blood is spilt. That's not all there is. Because in 3 days, I'm going to rise. Better than new. And the same hope is for every believer. We will experience loss in our lives that will feel like it will take us down. But you got to lean forward in the faith that by His wounds we are healed. Worship team, would you come? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You today that our loss is not our future. We thank You, Lord, today that our loss is not our identity. That our loss does not define who we are ultimately. That our loss, Lord, can be used by You to accomplish a purpose that is greater than we can think or imagine. But Lord, I ask this morning that You would walk with us through the shadow of the valley, the valley of the shadow of death. And Lord, it may be a financial devastating loss that we're experiencing right now. It may be a loss of a relationship. It may be a loss of a friend. It may be a loss physically. It may be a loss emotionally or mentally. Lord, I pray that as we walk through this valley, that Lord, You would walk with us. And we would be reminded that You will walk with us through the valley, not just into the valley, but through it. And that You will restore everything that this life has taken. Thank You, Lord, for reminding us today that we are created in Your image, and everything You made can be made new and better than new. You can overcome the sin in our life by Your sacrifice. We are healed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Will you stand and worship with us?
I just first want to say praise the Lord for that promise of that message. If you're standing here today and you don't know that restorative power of the Lord with what Satan, the liar, stole from you, took from you, there's people here in this room that are experiencing it. So just pull someone aside and ask them. They'll tell you their story of what the Lord has restored, or if he's in the process of restoring that in your own life. I just say praise the Lord. I was touched in a deep way this morning hearing the message again, because it took a lot, but it's back.
Amen. Praise God.
All right. I have a few announcements. Thursday is the church board meeting, this Thursday, so board members, don't forget, we need you. Next Sunday, will be a nominating committee will bring forward their work in preparation for the church board elections the next Sunday. And then Saturday, the 24th, John and I would like to have any of you over who would like to have a little more information about the church to our home, and we will share what it means to be a member of the Church of the Nazarene. And then it's going to be a long day, 2 to 7. We'll try to make that less long by having a meal for you. So when you leave, you'll be fed spiritually, and your tummy will be full too. And then March 25th, that will be the Sunday following that, we're going to have a Pathways to Faith and Action meeting. So bring a sack lunch. And basically, that's just to go over some of the ways if you want something to happen in the church, it's not happening. How can we make it happen with your help? So please come to that if you're able. It'll be about 12:30, and some of the Lost Lake folks may join us. I think there was one signed up. And then I think that's all I'm going to read other than this. I will bring back my exiled people, Israel. They will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine, and they'll make gardens and eat their fruit.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
You are dismissed.